Welcome to the Minerals and Royalties Podcast, the home of CEOs and investors in the minerals and royalties space. This is the Kitchen Table War Story Series, ground zero for the legendary tales of the minerals space.
Hey guys, this is Tim Powell from the Minerals and Royalties Authority. I recently sat down with Billy Morrow, president of Lexicon Energy, to walk through some of his wild stories from over the years of working in Louisiana. Let's jump into the episode and hear more of what Billy had to say.
Hi, my name is Billy Morrow. I'm the president of Lexicon Energy, and these are my kitchen table war stories. So this goes back right out of college. So I am 23 years old, just moved from LSU back to Lake Charles, where I'm from. Got my first job, essentially, as a contract land man, essentially do the dirty work of going out in the swamps of New Iberia, being in the south of New Iberia. So down in the bayou, essentially, okay? And so young guy out of college, I'm excited. I'm saying, oh, okay, this is a good opportunity. I'm learning. I'm going to be in the mix. I get to move around a little bit. So I'm excited. All right. So first couple of weeks, you know, learn the ins and outs. And he's like, okay, here's our map. I want you to go there the next 3 days. These are the individuals we want to hit. This is the family. He goes, I just want to warn you, it's an interesting family. He's dealt with, I guess, the head of the family, essentially, but then there is cousins and aunts and uncles. So he has an understanding of what could possibly happen and what could not happen. So thank goodness that I am a Cajun boy myself. And so I am able to understand the layout, let's call it that, of this environment. So first day, let's call it a Monday, I go down there and we're in the swamps. We're touching down, at the bottom of the burr is what they call New Iberia. Okay. And knock on the first house. Lady comes out, probably in her 50s. Husband comes around the corner and not a big deal. Nice individuals. So I talked to him. Hey, look, you know, we're trying to lease this land. We're, you know, plans to drill on this site, you know, explain my whole 9 yards. Let's show him a plat and those type of things and ask him some questions about the family. Well, very nice people, you know, give them other material, let them, you know, discuss it, look it over. They're like, who else, you know, well, I'm going to look at cousin Eddie and Aunt Rebecca and a couple other people. Well, those two stood out to those individuals. They said, oh, we recommend that you be very careful with those, you know, when going approaching their land. They kind of live off the grid. They're not very kind to visitors. You know, they always think someone's kind of taking advantage of them, you know. So good day on Monday, working through some other cousins, speak with them. Every time, though, those two names come up, be careful, be careful. I'm like, you know, I asked them, so they're brother and sister. And they're like, yes, they are. They're an aunt of ours and they're cousins of ours and they're brother and sister. I was like, well, do they live together? No, but they live on the same property. So Tuesday's my, you know, through my map and through my, is time to hit Boudreaux and Thibodeau's essentially house. Okay. So I go in, as you can imagine, the atmosphere in the land is desolate and it's swampy. It's so I roll in there and I guess it was the cousin, the lady's house, knock on the door. She's screaming through, essentially screaming, what do you want? What do you want? You know, through the door, and I'm trying to communicate with her at this time. Well, I didn't know. I guess she has a boyfriend, and the brother lives in a separate house. Well, the boyfriend and the brother don't get along. Okay. Now, the sister and the brother, they do get along. Okay. The boyfriend situation was not something I was prepared for. So we're kind of hollering and screaming through the door. Boyfriend comes around. What's going on? Explain to him. Didn't seem like a bad guy. It wasn't a bad interaction at this point. I'm like, oh, okay, this is no big deal. Well, we holler and scream through the door. She finally opens the door. It's a crack because I think she sent the boyfriend around to see who this individual was. Once they realized what it was going on, they had heard from other family members that this could, you know, that someone might be there today or within the next week. So cool. Great conversation. I said, oh yeah, I'm going to head over to your brother's. She's like, okay, well, you know, be careful, you know, just do what you did here. Take your time. Not, you know, well, I just, at that point, heard a little something, and it was the boyfriend kind of was walking away, and he's like, let's just say he said some derogatory terms about the brother, not kind things. Let's call it that. Okay. And you remember, he's got this really Cajun drawl now. So if you're not from there, you don't have a clue what he's saying. So kind of hear it, and I'm like, wow, this is weird. Okay. Why is he even worried about it? Like, we had a good conversation. I'm going to the brother's house. No big deal. Right. So get in my car, you know, it's gravel road, just kind of go down a couple acres and pull in, and he's outside. I can hear some rumbling in the back. Sounds like some engine cranking in and out. So I'm like, okay, let's be cautious here. So I went to the front door initially, rang the doorbell, knocked on it. No, nothing. Nobody was home. Okay. Or inside at least. So I'm like, okay, I'm going around the back. And at this time, I'm letting it be known that I am I'm saying hello, hello, you know, and walking around. Well, I guess at this point, he's got a shotgun sitting next to me. So he pulls the shotgun, not on me, but he's got it in his hands as I walk around the corner, which I kind of expected, because like, who wouldn't, right? Like, who the hell's in my house? Like, I understand that. It wasn't like I was caught off guard. He's got a dog too. So at this point, the dog kind of bucks up. Okay. This is where it starts to get interesting. So it went from kind of chirp and bark to a growl. So the dog begins to kind of like almost prey on me a little bit, like kind of circle me. And with the guy's got the gun in his hand, and he's asking me, what are you here for? So I got about 30 seconds to really like spit it out. Okay. Or there's a possibility that something could go on. So I get 30 seconds in, we're good. Okay. You know, he calls the dog, tells him kennel up, gets in his kennel. He puts the gun to the side, and we go, you know, I go into my pitch. I'm talking to him. And I think, you know, I don't know, but just based off of this interaction that I had, seemed like a pretty decent human being that maybe was misunderstood at some points. Okay. Or maybe made a mistake prior in his life. I'm not sure. Okay. But quality conversation, go through my spiel. Well, at this point, I hear, I believe was a three-wheeler coming through the pasture towards his house. And so rewind and remember that the boyfriend had some unkind words to say about the brother. You know, I don't know what's going on, but he's pulling up. I've been talking to the brother about 10 or 15, 20 minutes, good conversations. We're going, looking at the paperwork, explaining it to him. You know, he's asking questions. On a three-wheeler, hauling ass across the thing, all I hear is, "Shay, you by my God," you know, and he is just in the biggest Cajun accent. I mean, he's throwing every word in the book at him. And I don't know what's going on. This point, the brother goes, "Sir, you need to go get in your car." I was like, "What?" I said, "No, I need you to sign this." And he's like, "I will, but you need to go get in your car." So at this point, I'm kind of like, wait a minute. I'm not really going to let this happen, am I? Like, am I just going to stand? Like, what are they about to do? I got to watch. I'm interested. Like, come on, dude. I'm not worried about me. I want to see what's going to happen. So at this point, he's now approaching. I backed off. I'm probably about 10 yards, and I kind of act like I was walking to the car, but kind of to the side of the shed, essentially. And at this point, they're going at it. You owe me this money. You better sign this. And you're going to pay me that. That's mine that you took from your sister. And they're going at it. At this point, he's telling his dog, sick him. The dog comes out of the kennel and goes and gets a hold of the boyfriend. Well, the boyfriend now reaches in his pocket and gets a knife out, tries to cut the dog. Okay. Doesn't cut it. I don't think he was trying to really kill it, but he thought of like pretty much scared that he hit the dog. And then the guy calls the dog, gets the knife out. I'm like, okay, whoa, this is getting weird. So the guy's, you know, the brother's like, don't you, you know, that's my dog. You kill my dog. I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, whoa, whoa. So I actually come out from the side and I'm like, I'm either witnessing something that I'm going to have to sit on the stand and testify or I'm stopping this. This is my opportunity. So I jump in here and I'm like, whoa, boys. And like this point, they're in each other's face. They're like headbutting each other. And like, they're like, I got my gun. And I'm like, what? And I come in and I'm just like, guys, what's going on? You know, like, let's fix this. And they start wrestling on the ground by the time I get there. So I started kind of participating. I would grab one, throw him off, grab the other one, throw. once they were like out of steam and out of emotion and kind of just like tired, and they actually like listened and I like calmed everything down, come to find out the tractor that I walked up on that he was working on, okay, that I mentioned the brother was working on, that was the boyfriend's tractor. He made a deal with the brother to fix the tractor, or he was going to buy it. I don't remember exactly, but along those lines. And he wanted the money for something, okay? And he didn't get the money. Well, the brother's over here saying, listen, I didn't finish with the tractor, so let me finish, and then we'll, I guess, sell it, and we'll get our money back, something along those lines. So at this point, we're kind of calm. Well, something was said by the brother about the sister. Well, they at this point, they get into it again. And so they're rambling on the ground, and I'm thinking, this is the second time, like, you know, with this is all within 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It's quick, okay? And so I'm like, at this point, like, I've done my due, like, I'm out of here. I tried to, you know, help these boys. I'm like, all right, well, I said, I'm not dealing with y'all, you know. I said, y'all, whatever. Y'all want to act like kids? I said, I'm the 23-year-old here. I'm supposed to be acting like this. Y'all are 40. They stopped, rolled over, and they're like, you're 23? And I was like, yes, sir. And I was like, this is money right here. You wouldn't have these issues if you just sign here and get this check. I'm telling you, I turned into just a straight Cajun Creole, and I'm speaking like that. And for 10 minutes in this whole scenario, I went from someone's about to die, okay, maybe a dog, maybe a person, or they might shoot me. I don't know, or gut me. By the time I was done, 30 minutes to an hour later, I had both signatures from the sister and the brother, and they made me sweet tea.
They made you sweet tea afterwards.
Because I do love sweet tea, and that's a thing that's kind of, you know, tradition in the South. And considering where it could have turned to what happened, it's a borderline miracle.
Hey guys, I wanted to take a quick break from the conversation to say thank you to all of our podcast sponsors. Looking to ramp up deal flow for your minerals and non-op ground game? Since 2019, the Texas Mineral Company has closed on over 120 deals, totaling $110 million in value, with deal sizes ranging from $50,000 upwards of $5 million. Whether you're looking for white space, permit, duck, PDP, AFE, or wellbore-only deals, the Texas Mineral Company has got you covered. For more information on how to source deal flow from the Texas Mineral Company, please email Toby Martinez at toby@thetexasmineralcompany.com. Over the past 20 years, Riverbend Energy Group has been the definitive leader in the non-op and mineral space, where they are actively acquiring minerals in the Delaware Basin, Midland Basin, the Williston, and the Eagle Ford. Following their $1.8 billion sale of their non-op platform in 2022, they are also back actively acquiring non-op interests in the Delaware Basin, Midland Basin, and Williston. If you have minerals or non-op working interests in these areas that you would like to sell, then please visit www.riverbendenergygroup.com for more information. As a leading global energy business advisory firm, Opportune is well positioned to provide world-class technical, financial, and operational capabilities to minerals and royalties companies. Whether it's back office outsourcing, resource and reserve definition, land due diligence and administration, GIS mapping, valuation work, data and system integration, financial reporting, tax advisory, or buy and sell side assistance, Opportune LLP has got you covered. For more information, please visit www.opportune.com. Farmers National Company has oil and gas experts located across the country ready to provide you unmatched convenience and service for your land management needs. Whether you're looking for turnkey management of oil and gas interests or simply looking for an advisor to help you sell or lease your minerals, Farmers National Company has you covered. Learn more about Farmers National Company's team of certified mineral managers, landmen, attorneys, and accountants by going to fncenergy.com or reach out directly at energy@farmersnational.com.
So this is a little more recent, probably within the last 2-3 years. So this is, let's say, right after COVID. I'm doing some work with a buddy of mine. They need some leases looked at or signed. I'm like, all right, you know, whatever. The key here was to try to get the will of a grandfather and see it. One of them had it, if not both, okay? go to the first one. It's a lady that is a family member, but she has a husband. And so there's, you know, we're talking about it. Good conversation, sign. And she's like, here it is, you know, but there's one thing that we have not addressed. There's a third party involved here. So I'm like, you know, could you elaborate, explain a little bit what you mean by that? She's like, I don't really know. But in the will, it says X and then the last name. And they got a third of this interest in everything essentially in the will. So I'm like, well, is there like, you know, a family member or something along those lines that I'm missing? And they're like, no, we're not, you know, it was handed down from the grandfather to the two siblings. And at that point, there's the third party involved. These two grandchildren are looking at this and they're not really sure what's going on.
So they don't know who this person is.
Well, they, in a roundabout way, no, they don't. They know, they've heard rumblings of there's a third sibling. Okay. They're not really sure where this sibling is. They've never seen this sibling. Haven't really heard of their parents talk about it much. The granddaughter says, hey, you know, this is where my brother lives. You're probably not getting him on the phone to talk to you. But if you go up there, you got a high chance. He's old school. I said, not a problem. I understand. I get it. So well, I go and get him. He has to sign some things. But look, you know, we're digging in here. We're doing some title run. It's just a, it's a weird scenario because I've never personally seen someone kind of X'd out, but not X'd out because usually they're removed from the will. So we go and I talk to the brother. And I guess at this point is the first time the brother, grandson, had shared this with anyone besides his wife. This third party is a sibling, but has been in jail because of, let's just say, acts that are not okay in society. Okay. And so I guess the grandfather in the will didn't put the name because if the will was read, I don't know. Okay. Something along those lines. It's something I've never personally seen.
Oh, so it's literally X and then last name, but it's X'd out. Like yes. Literally X'd out. I thought you were just blanking the name for the story.
No, literally. And so without rewriting the will, it was just boom. So you got to confirm it, you know, and make sure it wasn't, this is old school, you know, so we're doing our due diligence because it's a big interest and this guy needs some looks. Anyway, go down there, tells me, he's like, yeah, you know, and this sibling, I guess, was a prolific pedophile and at a high number. So I believe is in California, if I'm not mistaken, but was still alive. This person's still alive. Okay. So that's where it got complicated. And needless to say, the brother was like, you know, I need to tell my sister. And so I guess, you know, he was like, let me talk to my sister. Let me get this organized. And I was like, so she doesn't know? She's like, no, the only reason I know is my dad slipped his tongue at one point. And I was old enough to kind of put the pieces together. My dad tried to downplay it and move, you know, whatever. And then when I got older and he was like, within the last, when all this was coming up in the last year or so, I started doing some research and found out that I do have an uncle that is alive and he is in jail for the last, I don't know, 50 years or something. I was like, whoa. And considering this family and the lady and just kind of the environment, this is probably not normal. And they don't know many people along these lines. Very like structured and family orientated and seems like really good people. And so I was like, well, you know, we'll step away at this point. If this is uncomfortable, like there's a difference in, you know, business and then, you know, having some morals and understanding. And he was like, oh, no. Like this is, I'm an adult. It's fine. I was like, well, are you telling your sisters? Like, do I need to keep this, you know, hush? And he's like, well, just, you know, I'm going to talk to her this weekend. So like next week when we reconvene after the weekend and I talk to her, she'll know. So come to find out, I guess the sister did know because her husband did a 23andMe. And so something came back along those lines and they knew there was someone. And through, I guess, DNA testing, and their own research, they found out. So you have a brother and a sister that each knew, but didn't know the other one knew. And I come to find out after we got on like a conference call and talking with them. And, you know, they were just like really thankful that this situation happened because it kind of brought them closer together as a brother and sister. Not that they weren't, but just they were like, no, thank you, because now, you know, we're getting older and we want to be able to, you know, that's my brother, that's my sister, and I want to be able to like share these things with, like, and talk about it. We shouldn't have to like act like it's not there, essentially. Or yeah, you know. And so that was humbling to know, you know, if it's a life lesson for any of us and all of us, is that if you care about someone and there's something that maybe is uncomfortable to discuss, but it's pertinent, you need to do it.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed. The Minerals and Royalties Authority is a specialist advisory firm focused exclusively on the minerals and royalty space for oil and gas and renewables. With our leading content platform and thought leadership, our team is continually looking to bring awareness to the mineral space in order to help investors and companies buy and sell deals and form new partnerships. If you're interested in scheduling a call to explore ways the Minerals and Royalties Authority can help your team through our offering of consulting services for business development, marketing, capital raising, and A&D, then please send me an email at tim@mineralsauthority.com. Also, please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to share these episodes with anyone in your network that you think would enjoy. Thanks, and see you next time.